You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We are visiting for a full hour the end of this very, very busy and portentous year, I think it's fair to say, 2017, with Mark Helprin, man we've had the privilege of speaking with off and on in the course of the year, but always look forward to taking stock with at its end, and in particular today to assessing what the president has laid out for us as a new national security strategy for our country. And Mark, you were describing something that I am convinced most Americans haven't given any thought to at all for most of the past 30 years, and that is the condition, let alone the importance, of credible, safe, reliable, effective nuclear deterrent. And you've just starkly described what that portends if we have really lost that deterrent posture. And I would argue we are at the cusp of it if we haven't actually done so.
Oh, we have. We have. And if I can sort of, again, in a nutshell, because this is complicated stuff, but here's the thing. First, I'll describe what's wrong with our deterrent, and then I'll describe the other sides. First of all, we are exceedingly vulnerable to a first strike in that, A, we do not have an adequate missile defense so that we can't stop anything coming in to attack our counterforce. In other words, our missiles that might make a retaliatory strike. Secondly, our land-based missiles are all in silos. They're in the very near future, we and the Russians and the Chinese will have precision guidance to the millimeter. It used to be circular error probable, where they would say, because of weather, et cetera, even with MIRVs, you might be off by a mile or a half a mile, or certainly in terms of multiple meters or yards. Now, the new precision guidance coming on is accurate to the millimeter, so that even with conventional weapons, it might be possible to destroy land-based missiles which are fixed in silos.
Even quite hardened silos.
Even hardened silos, with penetrators. Now, to counter that, on the other side, the Russians, the Chinese, and the North Koreans have mobile missiles. We do not. Even the North Koreans have mobile missiles. You can bet that Iran will have them too. The United States has foregone mobile missiles, which is a way of protecting land-based missiles from precision strikes. Okay, that's the one leg of the triad. The second leg is air bases, aircraft. Our aircraft are not only almost as old as I am, and I'm 70 years old, but except for the B-2, which is, we only have 20 of them, and they're the only ones that can actually penetrate air defenses, Russian air defenses, possibly Chinese air defenses. But they're based on four bases, and that means, of course, they can be dispersed, but they're exceedingly vulnerable because in addition to hitting their bases and destroying them, and the bases are not adequately hardened, as they should be, in addition, Russia has great air defenses. Okay, then the third leg of the triad is the safest, which is the undersea triad. We used to have 41 ballistic missile submarines. Then we went to 18. Then we went to 14. And the new class, the Columbia class, will be 10. If you have 10 Columbia class submarines, the maximum that could be at sea at any one time is 6. And both, if you take Russia and China together, they have 100 hunter-killer submarines. That's not the only thing. Sea transparency is growing. The Russians have figured out that you can track submarines now as it's never before, because even when they go at great depths, what they make is an upwelling of minerals and other such things that leave a track on the surface. So that these submarines now, the seas are more transparent than they've ever been, and the Russians can track submarines now with non-acoustic means. There you have some other things. Both the Russians and the Chinese, and the Koreans actually too, have tunneled. The Chinese, it is reported anyway, have 5,000 kilometers or roughly 3,000 miles of tunnels in which their nuclear infrastructure is housed. So we don't even know what they have. And then there's another thing. and that is that we have arms control agreement with Russia, and that keeps us at a certain point. Do we have an arms control agreement with China? No. And they are building up their nuclear deterrent or nuclear forces to the point where they will come to parity with us and with Russia because they have the economic heft to do that. And we don't even know what they have in those tunnels.
It could well surpass what we have actually agreed to limit ourselves to. And then, of course, there's the problem, Mark Halperin, that the Russians have apparently put themselves in a position to be unbound by those agreements. So we could be facing, in addition to all of that, both qualitative and quantitative advantages in the hands of our enemies. The qualitative including, as you know, hypersonic weapons and maneuvering weapons against which our defenses at present are probably totally ineffectual. You've described a great and ominous nuclear threat on the one hand, but again, let me ask you about one other piece of this. The extent to which we have allowed ourselves to be qualitatively outmatched, as well as perhaps putting ourselves in a position of being exceedingly vulnerable.
First of all, we scrupulously hold to the arms agreements, and the Russians, as we know, do not, and there is no such agreement with China. So that you have a possibility of a massive disadvantage in terms of numbers. And that means something, at least, at the very least, psychologically. Then there's the question of, again, penetration. What means do they have to penetrate any missile defenses we may have? And what do we have in terms of penetrating their defenses, some of which we don't even know what they are? But the main thing is that the American people have been led to believe that getting rid of nuclear weapons is the safe way to go, and that what we need is to simply get rid of nuclear weapons. Well, first of all, even if that were so, you would want to have at least some semblance of equality in doing that, and we don't have that either with Russia or with China, where China is not even obligated to do so. But even if we did have that semblance, even if we had inspections, et cetera, if indeed we got rid of our nuclear weapons and Russia and or China kept secretly in caves their nuclear weapons, then they could rule the world and we would be nowhere. And you can take a nuclear arsenal sufficient to destroy the United States, and talking about the warheads now, and put them in a normal-sized apartment.
To say nothing of 3,000 miles of hardened underground tunnels, needless to say. And Mark, one other piece of this, which is also of concern and rarely gets the attention it deserves, is, as you were starting to say, the lengths to which the North Koreans, to say nothing of the Russians and Chinese, have really burrowed in. We've talked a little bit about tunnels, but in addition, you also have hardened submarine pens built into mountainsides, for example. And these are the sorts of and underground command centers and the like.
Yeah, China has hardened submarine pens on Hainan Island in the South China Sea. And our bases are just completely vulnerable.
Even to conventional attack, as you've indicated, which is alarming in the extreme. Mark, we have to pause, but when we come back, I'd like to switch gears to what we might do to try to contend with the implications of what you've just said by having missile defenses in place that would be capable of dealing with, hopefully at the very minimum, making uncertain in the minds of the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans or others, what the effects of an attack would be, which again has the potential to enhance deterrence to some degree. We'll talk about that and other parts of the president's new national security strategy right after this.